Blog Talk Radio.
Blog Talk Radio. Spearhead, yell fire. my theme song for, I don't know, a couple of years now. It is the Pinko the Bear Show, and welcome to it. Glad to have you here. It is May Day, mother lovers. It is May Day. Is it Mother's Day, too? It is May Day. It is officially midnight Pacific time. Officially May Day. Of course, the festivities don't get started until, I say, about 3:30 here in Reno, Pacific time. Anyway, this is the Pinko the Bear Show. This is, how would I describe it? I guess lefty leftist ear candy for the choir, right? Just talking about stuff you already know about. But if some of the stuff I talk about surprises you, perplexes you, makes you wonder what the hell I'm talking about, well, you're obviously not in the choir. And that's okay, man. You don't have to be in the choir. It's cool to be in the choir, though. It's cool to know what's going on. So if you're not in the choir, just take a moment and turn your neck to your left. Just turn your head to your left. You don't have to turn your shoulders. Just turn, look on over there on your left, way down there at the end. That's me. Hi, I'm Pinko. So my name is Abear, but, I figured if I'm going to do a radio show, I probably need a name. So I thought, well, Pinko Kami, right? So I am Pinko the Bear for the next 2 hours. And it's good to have you here, whether you're listening live, and I hope you are, or you're listening in a time-shifted sort of way, a podcast or something. That's great, too. I appreciate you being here. So, yeah, just look to your left. There I am. And I'll save a seat for you over here, and I'll keep the light on for you. One day, you too shall come into the fold. The real left, not the Democrats, not the liberals. Yeah, I was one once. Hey, here's another. I used to be a conservative, too. But then I started reading. I started thinking. I started, you know what I did? I'd been in a series of bubbles my whole life. You grow up in a conservative household. So you vote for Reagan. And, you say, you repeat all the talking points that you hear from your conservative folks that you look up to, older people, whether it's your parents or, I don't know, your boss or who the fuck looks up to their boss. Oh, by the way, this is not a G-rated show. Not that I go out of my way to, use the F-bomb, but I do. So just, if you have kids around, go ahead and let them listen to the show because they've already heard the F-bomb. They already know what that is, so don't worry about it. But I just wanted to point out that F-bombs don't kill people. Real bombs kill people, okay? Billionaires and killionaires kill people. And that is why the working class must unite. The working class and the owning class, the ruling class, have nothing in common. It's them against us. It's 99-1. Actually, it's more like, they're not the 1%. They're more like the 1/10th or 1/100th or the 1/1000th of 1% that rules this planet. But at any rate, I digress. That's what I do. I just make it up off the top of my head and I go with it. But May Day, man, May Day. It's May 1st. It is International Workers' Rights Day. I'm pretty excited. I've been part of the May Day Planning Committee for, the last 3 years. Though I did take a full-time job, 50 hours a week, actually, the last 3 weeks. So I have not been to any of the May Day Planning Committee meetings in the last 3 weeks. But it's been going on for a few months, and tomorrow's the big day, the big rally. Come on, comrades, come on, let's go rally. If you're in Reno, if you're listening, well, then you know me, and I know you. But, yeah, you know where to be, man, 3:30. Come at 3. Why not? Come at 3 o'clock. Hang out, socialize for a while. At 3:30, the speechifying will begin. And we selected a committee to select those who want to speak. There will be no pimping for Democrats or Republicans, conservatives, or any political party, not even the Greens, though we may have speakers from some liberal groups, and we may have speakers from the Green groups, group, I should say. But, we're not stumping for electoral politics here. This is about International Workers' Rights. This is about working people and workers' rights. So speechifying at 3:30, maybe till 4:30, 4:15. We'll see how far, how long it goes. 3-minute speeches, but of course it'll take longer because you know that's how people are. And then we're going to have a little rally. We're going to go from the rally. We're going to have a little march. We're going to march around the federal building. We're going to stay on the sidewalks. We're going to obey the law. For the most part, maybe, sort of. Perhaps somebody will decide not to. I don't know. I'm not the boss of them. I'm the boss of me. And so so we'll go around the federal building. We've got our signs. There'll be a banner drop. It's going to be beautiful. It's a coalition of groups, quite a few groups this year, that have planned the May Day rally. And then after the rally, after the march, we're going to head over to Wingfield Park and we're going to hang out. We're going to have some food. We're going to have some, maybe have some music. People are going to bring their instruments. Maybe we'll hear some working class songs. A couple blocks away, Wingfield Park. It's beautiful. It's going to be 80 degrees tomorrow, 75 degrees, something like that. It's beautiful. The spring is here in the Sierra Mountain, in the valley here. And wherever you are, make sure you get out to your May Day. There's something going on in your town. If you have a town of any size whatsoever, there's something going on. Find it. Be a part of it. I want to do a couple shout-outs to the folks that are organizing this May Day event again this year. As always, the Industrial Workers of the World, my union, one big union, the IWW, a union for all workers. Also, Latino Journal, it's called Ahora, which I believe means now. And Mario publishes that and prints that and distributes that. PLAN, the Progressive Leadership Alliance of Nevada, is involved once again this year. Also, this time, this year, we've got a new group, Immigration Reform for Nevada. Immigration Reform for Nevada, you can find them on Facebook.com/Immigration Reform for Nevada, F-O-R, not the letter, number four. Mi Familia is working with us this year. Excellent. We hope to really have a good Latino turnout this year. Last year, we got whiplashed. Earth Day got moved back a week. And Cinco de Mayo got moved up a week, and then we had our May Day rally, and all three of these things were happening on a Saturday because we moved our rally to a Saturday instead of a Thursday or whatever it was. But so we hope to have a much better turnout. I had a couple hundred the last couple of years, but boy, I hope to see 500. I hope to see 1,000. We'll see. AFG is with us again this year, AFL-CIO with us. Occupy Reno, or what's left of it, with us. SEIU with us, renoinitiative.org. I love this group. This is some of the more participatory folks from Occupy, Ben Castro, Katie Colling, and Mark Pitchford started a nonprofit called Reno. It's RISE, RISE, Reno Initiative for Shelter and Equality, and they'll be with us. And providing some food, and of course, IWW gave them a stipend for the food, a few $100 or $100 or something like that. I don't know. But anyway, it's going to be a great day tomorrow, May Day. So let me just read you this. This is from the Facebook event page, and even though this is the Reno one, it's happening all over the country. You won't see it on MSNBC or CBS or CNN. You won't see it on, they don't want to talk about this stuff. Because they're beholden to the ruling class. More about the ruling class later. But help us build the largest May Day Reno has ever seen. Our objective is to incorporate the immigrants' rights rallies held on this date over the last few years in support of a fair and attainable comprehensive immigration reform for all families. The broad labor movement, including AFL-CIO, CTW, UE, and IWW, the Idle No More Indigenous Upsurge, the Buy Local and Natural anti-commodification efforts going on here, and the Occupy-related struggles against the corporate dominance of modern life into the traditional worldwide celebration of the International Workers' Holiday, May Day. Social time, 3 to 4. 4 to 4:30, guest speakers. I know that's going to go to 4:45. After the guest speakers, the march, and then the little party over in the Wingfield Park. So I'm excited about that. These things are happening all over the place. Down in St. Petersburg, I just pulled this one off the net. One of my friends is down there. In celebration of May Day internationally, St. Petersburg will be having a May Day event featuring music, poetry, speakers, and other activities. We don't have any poetry. We don't have any music because, I don't know, we don't. But why are we doing this, man? Why are we doing this? Well, a coalition of several groups is coming together on May 1st, International Rights, Workers' Rights Day, to call for justice for all workers. Undocumented immigrant workers, unemployed workers, underemployed workers, raise your hand. Homeless workers, retired workers, union workers, welfare recipients. We demand full rights for the undocumented workers and for the homeless. Money for jobs and education, not for war and occupation. Money for jobs and education, not for war and occupation. Money for jobs and education, not for war and occupation. That sounds like a great slogan. An end to police harassment of poor people, undocumented workers, homeless people, people of color. Housing, folks, housing for all. A living wage for all. Jobs for all. Healthcare, folks. Healthcare for all. Civil and human rights for all. Because after all, corporations are not people. And over in St. Petersburg, they're calling on the city to move to amend, ending corporate personhood. Good luck with that. Full civil and human rights for the homeless, modeled after the Homeless Bill of Rights. Use of vacant homes for the poor and homeless. You know, we have more vacant homes than we have homeless people. Gee. Problem could be solved, but not under a capitalist system. And an endorsement for the UN Declaration of Human Rights, Articles 23 through 25. Anyway, and then they go on and they list all the entertainment they're going to have. Sounds like St. Petersburg's got it going on. Where you got it going on to in Reno? We're just a little smaller. We're the biggest little city in Nevada. Pinko, why are you a pinko? Why are you a socialist? What's wrong with you? Well, what's wrong with me is I've opened my eyes and I see what is going on in this world. Let me throw a couple of things out from one of I don't have heroes, okay? I don't have heroes. I don't worship like old dead people. I have an appreciation for some really incredible people and what they stood for and what they said and what they did with their lives. One of them is Eugene V. Debs. Got 1 million votes from prison in the presidential campaign back in the 20s. He ran in the teens as well. But anyway, the issue is socialism versus capitalism. I am for socialism because I am for humanity. We've been cursed with the reign of gold long enough. Pinko, why are you a socialist? Well, because I'm for humanity. Pinko, why are you a communist? Well, because I'm for humanity, because I love people. Because I think we ought to like work for use value and not let people steal the surplus value that we generate. I just am not about the wage slave system. I'm just saying. And neither was Debs. What are you, some kind of revolutionary leader, Pinko? No. Again, I'm down with Debs on this. I am down with Debs. I am not a labor leader. I do not want you to follow me or anybody else. If you're looking for a Moses to lead you out of this capital wilderness, you will stay right where you are. I will not lead you into the promised land, even if I could, because if I led you, someone else would lead you out. You must use your heads as well as your hands and get yourself out of your present condition. As it is now, the capitalists use your heads and your hands. Eugene B. Debs. There's just so many great things that he said, so many wonderful things that he stood for and fought for. I have no country to fight for. My country is the earth. I am a citizen of the world. Fuck your nationalism. Oh, he didn't say fuck your nationalism, but he did say, I have no country to fight for. My country is the earth. I am a citizen of the world. And of course, he told people, you know, this World War One thing, this European, they didn't have a name for it. It wasn't called World War One at the time, but this European war, this entanglement, this thing that's going on in Europe, don't go. Workers, don't go. Coal miners, stay home. Don't go. The man on each end of a bayonet is still a working man, and you're damn sure not killing each other for anybody but the ruling class. So, of course, Wilson put him in prison for that. I have no country to fight for. My country is the earth. I am a citizen of the world. I like that one a lot. I like that. I like it a lot. So, be there or be square in your town, wherever you are. There's a May Day rally, unless you live like in like some little hamlet. Hamlet? Do we have hamlets? I don't know. Some township, some little, unless you're in some, you know, tiny little dust bowl. I don't know. There's going to be a May Day rally. You just got to get out there and get it. So, it is Binko the Bear Show. When I come back, I want to talk about the Illuminati a little bit, actually quite a bit. It's one of the things that always bothered me. People, you know, getting into all the Alex Jones conspiracy theorist stuff and just going crazy with it and not seeing what the real enemy is. I want to talk about this when I get back. But for right now, ladies and gentlemen, it's Tony Bambino. Tony Bambino. He does a really fine version of La Internationale. It's Pink of the Bear Show. Don't go away. I'll be right back in 2.5 minutes. I promise. Where's my music? Come on, baby. Where's my music? Here it is.
Arise, ye workers from your slumber. Arise, ye prisoners of want. That's right. For reason in revolt now thunder. Chains of hatred, greed, and fear. Ha ha! Away with all your superstitions. Serve our masses. Arise, arise. We'll change henceforth the old tradition and spurn the dust to win the prize. So, comrades, come on and rally. Then the last fight, let us face. The international unites the whole darn human race. So, comrades, come on, let's go rally. And the last fight, let us face. The international unites the whole. On tyrants only we'll make war. The soldiers too will take strike action. They'll break ranks and fight no more. And if those cannibals keep trying to sacrifice us to their pride, each at the force must do their duty, and we'll strike while the iron is hot. So comrades, come on, let's rally, and the last fight, let us face. The international unites the whole beautiful human race. So comrades, come on, let's go rally, ha! And the last fight, let us face. The international unites the whole.
Tony Bambino, everybody. Tony Bambino. He'll be here all week. Please try the veal. All right. This portion of the show is sponsored by Pabst Blue Ribbon. Not Heineken. Fuck that shit. Pabst Blue Ribbon. Actually, it's Fresca. But anyway, I want to talk about this thing, man. This weird, and you see it, you hear it, and you see it, and you listen to people talk about it, and you think, yeah, maybe, are they on to something? Do they know something that I don't know? I'm talking about the Illuminati, right? The Illuminati, these people that did just control everything. They control everything, their secret societies and their secret handshakes and their secret reach-around style that nobody knows really how it goes. But it all comes out on you and you're screwed. The Illuminati, they control everything. And it's not just the Illuminati. It's, oh my God, it's HARP. It's the Freemasons. It's, just crazy talk. Crazy talk. Okay, I don't want to offend you if you're listening. Just listen, I've got a very rational run-through on why the Illuminati and all that surrounds it and all the conspiracy theorists about it, they're just simply wrong. It's a myth. And I don't want to belittle you if you're listening and you tuned in because you know I was going to talk about this and you wanted to hear what I wanted to say. We've all believed in stuff that simply isn't true. I mean, I believed in Santa Claus. I believed in Easter Bunny. I believed in, never did believe in Bigfoot. But, oh yeah, I thought Jesus Christ was my only Lord, my Lord and Savior, and my only way to get to heaven. I believed that for a brief 3 months, 6 months, something like that. I believed a lot of stuff. I thought Reagan was, the greatest president ever. I believed a lot of stupid stuff. And I looked into the Illuminati, and I've looked into that stuff, and I never believed it. I just thought, well, this is a bunch of crap. But finally, I read an article the other day that lays it out very clearly and very nicely, and I wanted to share it with you. I won't read it word for word. That's not my style. I'll paraphrase it and, get through it. But it's called The Illuminati is a Myth. Wake up and deal with the real problem. And it came out June of last year, actually, but I didn't see it until the other night, maybe about a week ago or 5 days ago. And it's by... Don't judge an article by its author. It's by Bob Avakian. You can Google him if you like to find out who he is and what he's all about. I don't agree with Bob on some things, most things. I don't know. Some things. But when he's talking about this particular subject, he is so spot on. I couldn't have written it. I couldn't have done it better myself. So let me just share with you his article about the Illuminati is a myth, and wake up and deal with the real problem, right after I have a drink of Fresca here. A moment of silence while I drink. That's nice, man. That's nice. It's nice being up late having a Fresca. Enough with the poisonous bullshit. So why do we live in such a fucked up world, huh? Why are the decisions so clearly out of the hands of the masses of the people, you and I? Why do these decisions always run so sharply against the interests of the masses? Why do a few people, folks, why do a few people control the enormous amounts of wealth while the rest of us swim frantically to keep our heads above water? And the vast majority are ground down and chained to a life of misery, no matter what they do. Why are we lied to about all this? These are good questions. And, people are looking for answers to these questions. And there are people offering answers, which are incorrect. Conspiracy theorists, Alex Jones, InfoWars, etc. Right libertarians. People seek answers to these questions urgently. One of the biggest, most widespread answers out there pins all of this on this shadowy group called the Illuminati. And this small but virtually all-powerful group, we're told, is bent on world domination. They have supposedly manipulated and rigged every war, every revolution, every economic or political crisis in accord with a master plan for world domination. And of course, there's 57 varieties of this explanation to be found on the interwebs. And yeah, and they got a little differences here or there, little details here or there, a little different degree of this and that. But the basic framework you get is the same. The Illuminati controls everything. And these Illuminati theorists, they focus on a great deal of manipulation by the banking system. It's the banks. It's the Fed. The creature from Jekyll Island. They don't really want to talk about any problems with the capitalist system besides, you know, out-of-control bankers. See, that's the problem, out-of-control bankers. They don't want to talk about the system itself. And almost all of them are openly or just below the surface anti-Semitic. They focus people's hatred against what they portray as a cabal of Jewish financial families. It's the Jews! Oh, no, they don't talk about the capitalists as a whole. What they do is they string together a lot of facts, a lot of pseudo-facts, a lot of bullshit and lies, and then they claim to be grounded in some deep research. Oh, I've done hours of research on the interwebs. But, of course, in reality, all this stuff is just used to serve a thoroughly unscientific and anti-scientific theory. Demonstrably not provable. And many connect this to the biblical book of Revelation. You'll see that and all its lurid visions of the apocalypse and mumbo-jumbo talk of the Antichrist. It's part of Satan's plan, the Illuminati, the Jewish bankers, and there are, you know, other equally mystical and anti-rational theories that they put forth. Different variants of the theory. I'm sure you've seen them. You know you watch those YouTube videos. I know I have. And I call bullshit. And so there's really only one way to describe these theories, one word to describe these theories, and that word would be wrong. Actually, there's another word too. That word is poisonous, totally poisonous. These Illuminati theorists, they point to the wrong problem, and they point to the wrong solution. But they get your attention, and they entertain you. They give you the wrong answers. But they're pointing at the wrong problem, and they're pointing to a wrong solution. To them, to those people, the problem isn't capitalism, see? It's not capitalism. It's not the system of capitalism. It's a small group of people who are supposedly controlling and perverting capitalism. Well, we've got crony capitalism now. Still capitalism. To them, the solution isn't revolution. Yell fire! That's not the solution to these people. No. We can't have that. We have to return to the purity of capitalism. Of course, a purity which never existed and can never exist and wouldn't be any good even if it could exist. And so in actual fact, these theories have served as the foundations for really reactionary, fascist, and racist movements for really over a century now. And these theories, they're not a little bit right. Oh, yeah, they take advantage of people's correct sense that the answers to the questions that we started talking about here a minute ago are hidden. But that's just the point. They take advantage. They take advantage. They exploit the sense that people have. You have a sense that you're being lied to. You have a sense that shit isn't quite right. But they exploit that. And then they use that to train people, maybe you, maybe not you, in reactionary, backwards thinking. And they exploit it to mislead people into acting against their very own, you know, interests. So they're no more neutral, no more harmless than some quack doctor, some charlatan who gives you arsenic for some highly contagious fatal disease. So why do these things happen? why is all this happening? Well, if you listen to the Illuminati theorists, there's no real logic to history other than the quasi-satanic forces trying to get domination. I mean, everything you can name, doesn't matter what it is, everything you name, the United States Civil War, the Russian Revolution, it all happened because the Illuminati manipulated it. So do really powerful forces really try to control events? Well, fuck yeah. Of course they do. But these forces in this day and age, they're political representatives of a class. The capitalist imperial class. And they don't have total control. I mean, first off, the power of these capitalist imperialists doesn't come from Satan. I mean, seriously, it doesn't even exist in the first place. And it doesn't come from any secret knowledge. It doesn't come from numerology or aliens or Bigfoot or... No, these capitalist imperialists, they get their power from something that's really much more every day. Where do they get their power, Bingo? Well, I'll tell you where they get their power. They get their power because they own the vast material forces that create wealth in this society. They own the factories. They own the mines. They own the agriculture. They own the means of transportation and communication. They own the freaking banks and the other instruments of finance and so on and so on. They own everything. And this ownership is what lets the capitalist class amass such obscene amounts of wealth through exploiting our labor. And we don't have any means of creating wealth, the proletariat. We don't own the factories. We don't own the restaurants. We don't own the mines. We should. There's billions, folks. Think about this. There are billions of people around this world. Billions of people in the world. And there's a tiny little handful of fucktards that own it. It's not the Illuminati. It ain't no secret. Exploitation means that the capitalists take what these billions of people create each and every day through their labor, and then they pay them. In return, just enough to survive. Maybe it's $15 an hour. Maybe it's $8 an hour. Maybe it's $6 an hour. Sometimes they pay them less than you need to survive. But it's the exploitation. That's where they get their profit. And this capitalist class is the embodiment of the capitalist system. Profit, look, a couple of things, three things. Think of capitalism as a game, okay? Like Monopoly? Think of it as a game. And here's a couple of rules for this game. Maybe this will clear things up. Profit that goes in the capitalist class's pocket, profit comes from exploiting people's labor. Therefore, you must exploit to the maximum, you being a capitalist. If you're a capitalist, you got to exploit to the maximum because your profit comes from exploiting people's labor. Number two, if you're a capitalist and you don't grow bigger, if you just stay the same size, well, guess what? Your competitor is going to drive you out. It's going to buy you out, drive you under. Therefore, you must expand or die. So you got to exploit to the maximum. You got to expand or die. And rule number three, if you're a capitalist, profit over everything, okay? Nothing is important as profit. Therefore, you got to plunder the earth and all of its inhabitants, and you got to subordinate everything to the pursuit of profit. Those are the rules of the game if you're a capitalist, and you're not, or you wouldn't be listening to this show. You might think you are because you own a business, but you're not. If you're not a billionaire or a killionaire, you're not a capitalist. Just saying. Put that out of your head. And so on the basis of the wealth that they've amassed from all this exploitation, the capitalist class shapes and controls the official use of force in societies. They control the armies, the police, the prisons, the court systems, you know. They control the decision-making, you know, through the presidency, the executive branch. And then they wield this machinery called the state.
Fuck the state!
Dismantle the state. They wield this machinery called the state to defend and enforce their interests. That's what they do. But here's the thing. And capitalists have conflicting interests. They're not all the same. They fight each other. They fight each other for control, and they fight each other for advantage over each other. As they all keep us down, they also, you know, fight each other. They collaborate to keep the masses down, but they still jockey for position and fight each other. What do you think the wars are about? So in today's world where capitalism has developed into a global state of imperialism, and this takes place on an international scale, you know what they are? They're like fucking gangsters. They're like gangsters in a turf war. I mean, the scale is, you know, the scale is different. The scale of the capitalist, you know, viciousness and destruction is way beyond what any, like, you know, neighborhood gangster or even some, like, Don of New York City could even dream of. This is global scale gangsterism. The mafia, as Chomsky calls it. I hate when he says mafia. It's mafia. Just saying, Noam. And all of this, this system, it leads to this horrific, widespread, totally unnecessary suffering for billions of people. And all of this is driven by the rules at the heart of the system that demand that the capitalists, in order to survive, they got to exploit, you know, almost everybody, the vast majority of people. And, you know, I just, it's, that's the way it is. That's part of their cutthroat competition with other capitalists. So what's the root of the problem? Folks, comrades, choir, and soon to be converted, tent sitters to the choir. It's not a tiny band of superhuman evil beings. It's not a group of Jewish financiers. It's not. It's a system. It's a system in which a class of capitalists control the means of production and exploit the labor of all of us. That's what it is. On that basis, wields tremendous military force to dominate the people, and also uses that power to control and shape the media, hello, education systems, hello, and of course to influence the way, influence and dominate the way people think. Propaganda. Oh, be afraid. It's the Illuminati and their secret reach around. And so long as this is the system on capitalism, we're going to face the problems. Exploitation of billions of people, plunder of the environment, horribly oppressive institutions, and ways that keep the exploitation going and going and going as long as the system is in place. Now, you see, in the Illuminati, thank you, Lord, for letting me speak in tongues. In the Illuminati version of the world, right? Maybe you're of that mindset. But in that version of the world, you've got some masterminds that are in near total control of all the events. But here in the real world, folks, and that's what this show is about, the real world, the one we actually live in, there's no one group of capitalists that has total control. They're fighting each other. They also fight with the masses. They're trying to keep them suppressed. And when those masses rebel, try to put them back into their chains. Horrific, destructive wars go on as the concentration of all of this. And sometimes, you know, against really, really long odds, the masses actually break through the madness and actually make a revolution. Can anybody think of one or two? And no single capitalist or group of capitalists can predict the course of events. Hell, they can't even predict the weather. They can't even predict whether this or that business will succeed. I mean, they try to. But they face a world of antagonistic forces and unintended consequences. I would be one of those antagonistic forces. You should be too. The capitalist imperialists fight for one reason: to defend, extend, and expand their ability to accumulate capital in a world full of uncertainty and chaos. And they must fight. Because, hey, remember the rules? They're driven to fight by the rules of the game. And, of course, this gives rise to huge crises in society where things seem to unravel. And the crises can mean, you know, great and even deeper horrors. But these crises could also contain the openings, folks. If there's leadership, if there's organizing and agitating, if there's education, if there's outreach, and if there are revolutionary people to make huge positive changes, to make the revolution. So you might wonder, do these powerful forces, these capitalists, do they try to hide their real motives? Do they try to hide their real interests? Well, yeah, of course they do. Because their interests are against you and I. They're against the masses of the people, the billions of the people. So let's take war. Now, the imperialists will never say that their wars are in the best interest of defending and extending an empire which they control. They're never going to tell you that. Think back to Iraq. What do they tell you? Weapons of mass destruction. Oh, mushroom cloud in New York City. Right? We got hundreds of thousands of people died as a result of that war. We got millions of people were violently uprooted, you know, the whole refugee thing. And the war was called Operation Iraqi Freedom. That's what it was called, right? Operation Iraqi Freedom. Actually, it was first called Operation Iraqi Liberation, but it was OIL, oil, so they decided to change it. But that's what it was called. It wasn't called the Operation Extend and Deepen U.S. Imperial Domination of the Middle East in order to edge out rivals and keep the masses suppressed. That would have been the truth. But let me say that again. It was called Operation Iraqi Freedom. It was not called Operation Extend and Deepen U.S. Imperial Domination of the Middle East in order to edge out rivals and keep the masses suppressed. See, these motherfuckers, they are always going to invent pretexts, invent excuses for getting the masses to go to war. And usually with no basis in reality whatsoever. I mean, think about Iraq. 9/11, Saddam Hussein, Iraq. Really? Vietnam, Gulf of Tonkin. What? Almost every fucking war you can name. Because if the capitalists came out and they said the real reasons, if they told us the truth through their media, the real reasons that they wanted a war, we wouldn't stand for that shit, now would we, people? And they know it. They will never tell you the truth. Might as well throw away most of those history books. Anyway, so people sense that they're being lied to. You sense, you know, when your government says, well, we got to do this, we got to do that, or Libya, you know, Grenada, or whatever it is, Panama, you know you're being lied to. But here come the Illuminati theorists, right? Here they come. And all their kind, all their ilk. And they're going to tell you, well, you know, the real deal is we got to enrich the reason we have all these wars is to enrich the Jewish financial interests, right? That's a nice way of saying, the Jew bankers. Oh, no, the real reason we have these wars, it's the Bilderberg group. Yeah. Oh, it's because they're trying to have a one world government under the United Nations. Oh, Agenda 21, watch out. I mean, all this crazy fucktard stuff. No, folks. The real reasons for wars are to impose U.S. domination over the rival imperialists, or, you know, they risk being edged out or even subordinated by those imperialists, or two, to crush liberation struggles of the people in the nations which they have been oppressing. Oh, they'll tell you, we had to go to Vietnam to stop communism. No, we had to go to Vietnam because those people in Vietnam got tired of 100 years of France fucking them over, and then another, you know, 20 years of the United States and Britain fucking them over, or 10 years, maybe 15, whatever it was, after France got its ass kicked in World War II. But that was about nationalism. That was about independence. It wasn't about communism and spreading. They didn't want to be a colonial. They didn't want to be a colony. They didn't want to be under the thumb of an imperialist. That's what that was about. But, you know, 67,000 deaths, American deaths later, and 2-3 million Asians dead later. You know, we stopped communism. So they're going to lie to you all the time. But the Illuminati theorists, they come along and they say this other stuff. But, you know, if they tell you that it's about capitalism, then they'd have to talk about the whole system of capitalism, not just the behavior of this group or that group, right? So they give you false answers. Just think about it. Think about it. Why do the Illuminati theorists invent all kinds of explanations which lead you away from looking at the forces within the systems functioning? And remember, the normal functioning of the capitalist system must mean the untold suffering of billions. And this has been true since the earliest days. Are we taught the real motive forces of history? No, we're not. You know what we're taught? We're taught that Abraham Lincoln fought the United States Civil War to free the slaves, because he was a good guy, and to realize the true promise of America. That's what we're told. And of course, we all kind of feel like there's more to it than that, right? So here comes the Illuminati theorist. And they're going to tell you that the Civil War happened because of the Rothschilds. Again, of course, a family of Jewish bankers in Europe, egging on both sides against each other so they could take over the U.S. financial system. Ooh, it sounds heavy. It sounds deep. You did some research on the net. You looked at a video. Yeah, the Civil War was caused by the Jewish bankers so they could take over the banking system in America. And of course, there's just one problem with that. It's totally fucking wrong. It's ridiculous. It's dangerously misleading. Now, regardless of what your textbooks tell you, try this one on for size, okay? Try this on. The Civil War, American Civil War, was, in fact, it came out of really deep contradictions at the very heart and the foundation of the capitalist system as it developed here in the United States. And namely, I'm talking about the enslavement of millions of Africans. So you got the Northern capitalists, and then you got the Southern slaveholders. And, well, of course, they got into this bitter and bloody battle and struggle. Why is that? Because the Northern capitalists grew in their strength over the first few decades of this country. And they increasingly ran up against constraints imposed on their expansion, capitalist expansion. Remember, that's one of the rules. They keep bumping up against constraints on that by the Southern slave system. And these Northern capitalists, they wanted to control the whole economy. They wanted to control the whole nation in order to fully consolidate capitalism. And the Southern slaveholders, well, they needed to dig in and not just consolidate slavery, but expand slavery's reach and power, right? Go west with your slavery. Now, you can read all about it over it. There's maybe check out Bob Avakian's book, Communism and Jeffersonian Democracy, or The Oppression of Black Peoples, the Crimes of This System and the Revolution We Need. If you want to, you can read all about it. But you've got two antagonists. You've got the capitalists in the North, and you've got the slave owners in the South. They both wanted to expand, and it came to blows, and so they settled it by war, getting a bunch of farm boys to go kill each other. And they had to sell it, so they found other ways to sell it, propaganda. The man on each end of the bayonet is still a working man. Just saying. Now, of course, did a lot of capitalists, including banker capitalists, did they make a shit ton of money? Right? Did they extend their individual power and their influence off of the Civil War? Sure. Of course they did. But these people, Illuminati conspiracy theorists, they started the war so they could make money. And you know what? That kind of claim, that's like saying that the dude that sells umbrellas is the one that made it rain because he made some extra money when it rained. It's a really, really, indefensible argument. Well, they made money off of it, so they caused it. No, not all of them. There's actually a lot more than this Illuminati theory hides. The Northern capitalists, who obviously eventually won, they didn't give the new freed slaves the rights that they had fought for. No, instead, what they decided to do is they decided to make the former slaveholders in the South, make them junior partners. And then they put the African-American people into a new set of chains as sharecroppers tied to the plantation. And, of course, convict laborers, slavery by another name, to build the roads and build the industry in the South. Why? Well, because it fit with their interests to politically stabilize the home base, so to speak, so they could extract super profits from sharecropping agriculture. And all the while, they're getting busy conquering the rest of the Native American peoples in the West and getting prepared to contend as a world power. And this oppression of African Americans, and it goes through a lot of changes. It's been the red thread running through the whole history of the United States and the colonies before it. It continues to be at the heart of U.S. society today. And the further development of this contradiction at the heart of Americans could still lead to, or certainly be a big part of, a major crisis in the United States, in the U.S. society. On order of the Civil War, it could happen. Or in the 60s. Or even beyond these earth-shaking days of change, so to speak. And that fact has tremendous implications, folks. It shows the depth of the oppression of the African-American people in this society. It shows the critical importance of the struggle against this oppression in a revolution to actually get free of this capitalist imperialist madness. And it shows how capitalist imperialist class in the United States has continually been driven to restore and rebuild institutions of white supremacy. Even as, these institutions go through changes. Understanding the true cause of the Civil War lets people see how there are times when these contradictions can come to a head in such a way as to plunge all of society into crisis and open up opportunities for huge and even truly revolutionary change. But this Illuminati crap, this Illuminati theory, it covers all of that up. It distracts you. It keeps you from thinking about all of that stuff, questioning the system because it's the shadowy Jewish bankers. It covers it up and it opposes that understanding. It leads people away from that understanding. According to Illuminati theory, the problem isn't deep-seated white supremacy built into the very heart of this capitalist system, which periodically leads to crisis and conflict, and yes, opportunity for radical and even revolutionary change. It's some fucking comic book demon who just happens to have a Jewish name. Why do you think the Illuminati theorists want people to believe that the whole thing could have been settled if it wasn't for the Jews? Or, excuse me, whole thing could have been settled if it wasn't for some nameless financial capitalists. Instead of showing people the real reasons that go to the roots of the matter, with all the implications for the present and future that we just laid out, huh? Some people get taken in because these theorists talk about big financial groups, hidden agendas. Where do all these big financial groups come from? What drives their agendas? I'll tell you, their agendas are nothing more but the expansion and the extension of their particular block of capital. Or on the international plane, their home nation. Got to ask yourself, why do these particular blocks of finance capital even arise? Why do they even exist? Why do we let them exist? This is actually explained by Lenin in his analysis of imperialism. I don't know if I want to get into all that, though. But hey, you want to talk about conspiracies? How about this one? 14 capitalist powers all banded together and sent armies to crush the revolution in Russia. But the masses of the people, in a terrible war that cost millions of lives, defeated the counter-revolution and went on to build socialism for decades. It was deformed. It wasn't exactly, you know, workers' paradise. It was deformed socialism. I get that. I'm not going to defend everything Lenin did. I'm not going to defend much that Stalin did other than kicking Hitler's ass. But this was a big fucking victory. 14 capitalist nations sent armies, mercenaries, funds, money to make sure the Russian Revolution didn't succeed. They managed to deform it, but it still succeeded. It was a big victory, unparalleled in human history up to that point. There was nothing predetermined about it. There was nothing neat about it. But if you listen to these Illuminati types, according to them, seriously, according to them, these Illuminati types, Lenin, who led this, this revolution, this incredible achievement, was nothing but a tool of, you guessed it. Lenin was nothing but a tool of the Jewish bankers. See, the Illuminati funded Lenin and the revolution, according to these people. These people who are so incredibly wrong and cover up with their crazy talk. Cover up the real problems in the world. Just saying. Anyway, to kind of get back to where I was talking about. What is imperialism? See, before Lenin led the revolution, he developed a theory that explained several big changes in how capitalism functioned. At first, the small individual capitalists of prior times, through the process of relentless competition that's actually built into capitalism, makes it run, so to speak. All of that had been wiped out, and then it was big monopolies or just a few capitalists or blocks of capital controlling huge industry, right? Sound familiar? And then the banking and industrial capital, they merged into finance capital. That's what they call it now, right? The capitals of what had been different smaller capitalists were now pooled into huge blocks which shifted capital in and out of different industries, different regions. And third, capital itself began to be exported to the oppressed regions of Asia, Africa, and Latin America. The capitalist states of Europe, North America, and Japan began to militarily occupy these countries and fight with each other over spheres of influence. You can see that if you pay attention. So they're fighting with each other over spheres of influence to defend the interests of capitalist imperialists of their respective countries. It's a big global chess game. And this leads to wars. And it led to wars on scales that we've never seen before. World War I, World War II, wars between the imperialists, as well as wars of liberation and revolution that were waged by the oppressed masses. And this means that capitalism has emerged into a new state, or a new stage, I should say. Imperialism. They go hand in hand. I know it's long. You may have fallen asleep. That's all right. It'll be here in the archives. You can listen to it again. I got just a little bit more on this. Then we'll take a break. In addition to the effects briefly outlined above, imperialism also means that huge blocks of finance capital exert power over the smaller capitalists. Imperialist capital controls credit. And they're the ones that make all the big decisions about economic priorities, austerity, and practices that affect the smaller capitalists, etc. These smaller capitalists feed off the imperialist system for their very existence, but also are extremely vulnerable to getting wiped out. And, of course, they resent all of this. At the same time, their class interests and position can set them in opposition to the people on the bottom of society, the proletariat, you and I. Who, in most cases, who in many cases they exploit. So, you know, the smaller states, capitalist states, why don't they stand up to the United States? Well, they're caught in the middle. Why doesn't France or Sweden or Luxembourg or, you know, Norway, why don't they stand up and say something to the United States? Well, they're caught in the middle. Illuminati theory reflects the position of this class of small capitalists. And this theory can also take root among others in the middle. Small business people. People who only have a few employees, professionals, managers, self-employed. This isn't to say that every person in this class position thinks this way. A lot of them don't. Many can be and have been one to the allies and the partisans of revolution. I mean, I've got a friend that owns a pizza place. He thinks capitalism is great, but you know what? Sooner or later, he'll get it. He's not a capitalist. But this theory crystallizes and represents the fantasies and the aspirations that spontaneously arise out of the social conditions of this class. As a class, it cannot envision and lead the way to a world without exploitation. They just can't. They can't see it. They're caught in the middle. Oh, it might dream of a more level playing field, a little higher taxes on the wealthy, but they're still going to carry out their exploitation of their workers. And these Illuminati theorists, they want to bring up, let's bring back the good old days of early capitalism. You remember the good old days, don't you, folks? The good old days of slavery. The good old days of the extermination of the Indians. The good old days, you know, the good old days when women didn't have any rights whatsoever. They were just chattel. You get the picture, right? Folks, the good old days of America were no fucking good in the first place. It's a myth. It's a lie. But these people, they want to bring back the good old days. This is why so many of these Illuminati theoreticians are fixated on the founding of the Federal Reserve Bank, 1913, the creature from Jekyll Island, right? It all changed in 1913. We gotta get rid of the Fed, end the Fed. Ron Paul, right? The good old days. but they weren't. These Illuminati theorists, they're not against capitalism. They don't get it. They're against the ways that other capitalists, in this case, certain financial interests, hamper them and hold them back, or at least seem to hamper them. But even if these theories ultimately reflect the position and the aspirations of the petty capitalist class, their influence goes broader into our society. And in recent years, these kinds of explanations have gained a hearing among the oppressed. We're looking for answers. Here, I've got one for you. It's the Jewish bankers. Why is this? For a long time now, a lot of people have been discouraged about the prospects of a revolution in the United States. We had the defeat of the first socialist revolutions with counter-revolutions taking place in the Soviet Union back in the mid-50s, then in China in 76. And that's basically enabled the ruling class to lie about history, to distort history, to suppress history. The winner gets to write the fucking history. They slander revolution. Oh, you must be a bad guy if you're a revolutionary. If you don't love capitalism and Jesus. And then they get to proclaim themselves as the all-powerful. Then we had the defeat of heroic struggles in the 60s here in the United States. That had a huge effect. In particular, there's the fact that African Americans were lied to and lied about. They, of course, along with the Latinos, they've been targeted by the war on drugs. It's basically just a new form of Jim Crow, mass incarceration, right? We got, 5% of the planet's population and 25% of its prisoners? It's insane. Free the slaves. Nope. Make them sharecroppers. Now, they can't sharecrop anymore because Big Agra took it over. Hey, I got an idea. Let's put them all in prison. How about a war on drugs? And, of course, the official line around here, racism is over. Racism is over. We got a black president now. Racism is over. If you can't make it now, folks, it's because of your own bad choices. You're just a loser. Be self-reliant. Pull yourself up from your bootstraps. If you can't make it, it's because of your own bad choices. That's the narrative that they give us. Makes you feel hopeless, helpless. Illuminati theory, man. It reflects part of this. The part about people being lied to, about hidden forces with hidden agendas determining the real shape of people's lives. At the same time, Illuminati theory also represents going along with and reinforcing this ideological offensive against the people. Illuminati theory, folks, is not in any way, shape, or form a way out of it. It slanders and it lies about revolution. It spreads contempt for the masses and their ability to change history, especially through revolution. It directs people's anger against other ethnic groups. It's them, those people over there, that supposedly made it. While at the same time accepting that making it under capitalism should be people's highest fucking priority. Really? It spreads lies about the antagonisms against communism. Excuse me, it spreads lies and antagonisms against communism and science. While it promotes mysticism and religion. And how the fuck is any of that any good? It's not good, folks. It's poison. It's toxic. It's toxic junk food. Illuminati theory can seem to reflect a part of reality, but You know what it does? It does it like those funhouse mirrors. You know, you go to the carnival and they got those funhouse mirrors. It gives you a really freaking distorted kind of view of what's going on. And it does so in service of a very unreal, very false, and very extremely reactionary explanation. And the ruling class is powerful. It is. But it ain't all powerful, folks. Power to the people! It ain't all powerful. They are powerful, but their system is full of contradictions. And you know what? History is not the plaything of a handful of men with some secret knowledge, with a secret handshake and a secret reach around. Most of all, it's the struggle between the contending classes. And the classes represent different ways to organize the production of what human beings need to live and different social and political cultural lives that correspond to those different ways. There never was, folks. There never was a golden age to go back to. Humanity is either going to remain locked in the endless horrors of capitalism, imperialism, or you know, hey, it could go forward to something better. Something more, I don't know, egalitarian. I don't know, communism. A society in which people carry out their lives without exploitation, without oppression, without antagonistic social conflict. A society in which people can rise to their full heights. So how about instead of going back to the good old days that never fucking existed in the first place and that we certainly should never go back to, how about we go forward? Huh? How about we go forward? How about we just quit getting taken in by all this? Or how about we quit letting others get taken in? You know, you are one. I know there's one guy listening who loves conspiracy theories and Illuminati stuff. How about you just stop getting taken in by that? How about you stop getting taken in by people who worship capitalism and whose ultimate agenda is fascist and white supremacist, huh? How about we call out the bullshit fantasy theories and worse that get people to focus on something other than the real goddamn source of the problem, capitalism? How about we eliminate the real source of the problem, capitalism, and we bring in a real solution? Socialism as a transition to communism. How about we promote and build a movement for revolution to bring in that new society, huh? Whenever the conditions emerge. How about we start tomorrow? Or no, today, May Day. I'm getting worked up. How about that? As a big step to what we're doing, is a big step towards doing all that. You might want to start reading some literature outside the box, some radicals, some dissidents. I mean, you can read Bob Avakian. He wrote the basis of my now almost hour-long rant. I'm not down with Bob on a lot of things. But read some dissidents, read some, I don't know, Chomsky, some Zinn, some, I don't know, Kropotkin, some Bakunin, some, I don't know, some Goldman. Open your minds. Start looking at things a little differently. How about we put an end to this capitalist system at some point? How about we get organized and get busy? How about it? I think that would be a fine idea. A fine idea. It's the Pink of the Bear Show. I'm gonna take a break. And I'm gonna leave you with a little clip that I think you might enjoy. Don't go away.
On that fateful day, the day the Empire was attacked, all the crew, staff, and guests, including security personnel and imperial officials, with the exception of one, were killed when the terrorist organization known as the Rebel Alliance blew up the Death Star with a squad of single-man fighters. The terrorists detonated the central core with proton torpedoes, destroying the prominent political target. But could the destruction of the Death Star have been an inside job perpetrated by top-ranking Imperial officials and royalty? What really happened that day? What's the likelihood that a squad of one-man attack ships like the X-Wing could penetrate the defenses of a heavily fortified moon-sized battle station? Even if a ship was somehow able to slip through, the difficulty of torpedoing a tiny ventilation shaft necessary to detonate the core is extremely high. In fact, a decorated and experienced Rebel Alliance fighter pilot, Wedge Antilles, is quoted as saying, "It's impossible." So how did the attackers make it through the defensive turrets on the Death Star's surface and swarms of Imperial TIE fighters? Well, most of them didn't. Let's take a look at one of the few that did. Luke Skywalker piloted the Rebel Alliance-issued X-Wing fighter that, according to the official story, fired the two critical torpedoes into the 2-foot ventilation shaft opening. The impossible shot. Luke was a farm boy, raised by his aunt and uncle on a desert planet with little to no professional combat or flight training. Every other experienced Rebel fighter pilot that day was killed or failed in their attack run. So what made Luke different? One element might be his family connections. Anakin Skywalker, known also by the moniker Darth Vader, is the overseeing manager and one of the chief commanding officers on the Death Star. He outranks admirals and is second in command only to the Emperor himself. Anakin is also Luke Skywalker's father. Anakin Skywalker was on the Death Star as the commanding officer on that fateful day. For some reason, he made an unorthodox and unprecedented move to personally fly a TIE fighter in the battle. Recovered logs show he relieved the fully qualified TIE fighter squad leader of his duty and assumed command of the squad conveniently just as Luke, his own son, was readying the final stages of the attack along the surface of the Death Star. Why would the highest in command of the most powerful battle station give up control and take on such a menial task as piloting a single fighter? It makes sense when one learns that he was the only member of the Imperial forces to survive the attack. Let's look at the events leading up to the detonation. The Death Star's defenses easily staved off most of the Rebel Alliance terrorists until the only remaining fighter was Luke's X-Wing. As he approached the ventilation duct along the trench, his father Anakin was now leading the three TIE fighters in direct pursuit. Logs show pilots in the TIE fighter squads were prepared to fire on Luke's X-Wing when they were ordered to stand down by Anakin Skywalker himself. Was he simply protecting his own son? Or was he setting the stage for a larger plan? It's worth noting that the experienced veteran pilot was unable to hit the bent target with the same X-Wing, the same torpedoes, from the same position as Luke.
I got him.
Directly after Wedge's failed run, Luke, with no training, was able to make a million in one shot, all the while being followed and protected by his own father. Isn't it possible that the torpedoes never had to hit their target at all for their plan to work? Unconfirmed reports indicate a third-party ship was present. This ship was not on record as being of Rebel Alliance or Imperial origin. Reports identify it as a Carillion-class fighter vessel, often modified and used by smugglers and mercenaries. This very ship was seen docked at the Death Star just prior to the attacks and may have been used to smuggle key members of both Imperial and Rebel connections. Could Anakin have planned for a mercenary smuggling ship to detonate explosives? The Rebel plan was based on structural and defensive intelligence of the Death Star, gathered under suspicious circumstances, raising even more questions. The root origins of the intel is unknown, but they somehow ended up in the hands of Leia Organa Solo, who was the Princess of Alderaan, the leader of the terrorist group Rebel Alliance, and you guessed it, the daughter of Anakin and sister of Luke. Leia Organa Solo, also known as Leia Amidala Skywalker, was on a transport ship with the intelligence not long before the Death Star was destroyed. The transport ship was intercepted by an Imperial-class destroyer commanded by her own father, Anakin. The intelligence was uploaded to an R2 android and translation droid, now determined to have been created by Anakin Skywalker himself. Why would the leader of the terrorist group choose to use androids created by the enemy? Could it be the plans were meant to end up in terrorist hands all along? Not convinced yet? From the time her transport ship was intercepted by her father's Imperial destroyer, records show she was taken to the Death Star, and multiple witnesses state she was seen in the Death Star control room when the planet she was princess of, Alderaan, was destroyed and all its inhabitants killed. Her brother Luke then secretly transported her directly to the Rebel Alliance facility to head the final stages of the attack and destruction of the Death Star itself. Witnesses report she was transported in a Corellian freighter vessel, exactly like the one reported to have assisted Anakin and Luke blow up the Death Star and escape. Isn't it quite possible that Leia was working with her father and brother, a family who felt destined to control the galaxy itself?
Illuminati.
Could the Death Star have been destroyed by Anakin to protect his daughter and hide evidence of her involvement with the Alderaan tragedy? Or perhaps it was for pure profits, as the contracts for constructing the second Death Star were awarded to Anakin Skywalker's very own construction company. Or maybe it was, as the official story goes, a simple farm boy with minimal combat training while working for his sister's terrorist group manages to blow up the most heavily fortified battle station ever made that happened to belong to his father, who happened to be the only surviving crew member that day. You decide.
Wake up!
Wake up, man! Wake up! Wake up! Fuck you, I won't do what you told me! Fuck you, I won't do what you tell me! Oh my god. A little parody of Loose Change. That's called Luke's Change. I like it very much. If you're still with me, this is the Pinko the Bear Show. I know that that piece was too long for radio. Not the clip I just played, but the 45 minutes of me rambling on about the Illuminati and how it's all rubbish. But I think it's important. It's just amazing. I run into so many people that buy that stuff and are all keyed into it. And they do their research on the internet by going to InfoWars and Alex Jones and David Icke. And I mean, really, just, it is, it's a distraction. It's one of the tools that the ruling class uses. Distract us, give us conspiracy theories, distract us, give us Honey Boo Boo, distract us, give us, Super Bowls and St. Patrick's Day. I mean, look, we all need a party, right? We all need, like, reasons to go, well, maybe we need reasons, maybe we don't. But, yeah, we all need entertainment. It's part of, who we are as a species. But there's so much entertainment, so much bread and circus. It's like the Romans, man. People are starving, and the Senate gets together and says, well, you know what? We're going to have a revolution on our hands. We keep spending all this money on war, on our Roman legions conquering other lands, so we can stay fat and happy. The people are hungry. Let's give them some games. Let's give them some entertainment in the Colosseum. How about we get a couple of lions, and then we get some Christians, and we throw the Christians in there with the lions and see what happens. See, we're much more civilized now. We've got the Super Bowl and March Madness. We've got festivals. We've got stuff to do. We've got TV to watch, endless amounts of just mind-numbing, soul-sucking television programming. Though I will say Game of Thrones is not one of those. That's some serious political commentary right there. When you play the Game of Thrones, you win or die. There is no middle ground. I can't wait till, what are we in, season 3, halfway through? I can't wait till the end of the series. I am hoping that all of those who would play the Game of Thrones and try to be kings would all die horrible deaths. And that the wildlings, the people beyond the wall, the wildlings will become, well, they're free people, right? They don't bow to any king. I'm hoping that they will inherit the kingdoms, so to speak, and then run it in an anarcho-syndicalist kind of fashion. A non-hierarchical fashion. I don't know how the books will end. I don't know how the TV series will end, but so far they're killing off quite a few kings or wannabe kings, and so I'm pretty happy about that. So I only have a half hour left, and I don't know, man. I have these other things I wanted to talk about, but I think I want to ramble here and there and just play a clip here and there. I think maybe that's what I'll do. I don't know. Maybe I will. Yes, I will. Game of Thrones, the greatest television series in the history of TV.
Game of Thrones, yeah, Game of Thrones, fucking Game of Thrones, fucking Game of Thrones, fucking Game of Thrones, fucking Game of Thrones, yeah, Game of Thrones, yeah, Game of Thrones, Game of Thrones, fucking Game of Thrones, fucking Game of Thrones, fucking Game of Thrones, yeah, Game of Thrones, yeah, Game of Thrones, fucking Game of Thrones, fucking Game of Thrones, fucking Game of Thrones, fucking Game of Thrones, yeah, Game of Thrones, yeah, Game of Thrones, Game of Thrones, Game of Thrones, fucking Game of Thrones, fucking Game of
Thrones, yeah, Game of Thrones, yeah, Game of Thrones,
Game of Thrones, fucking Game of Thrones, fucking Game of Thrones, fucking Game of
Thrones, yeah, Game of fucking Thrones,
Game of Thrones, fucking Game of Thrones, fucking Game of Thrones.
There are swords and things doing lightning tricks, and they'll take you out if you try to beat them. They'll kill you and stop you and make you Game of Thrones.
Game of Thrones, fucking Game of Thrones, fucking Game of Thrones.
In the lightning they come to take on everyone. And you know it's the Game of fucking Thrones.
All right. So under the category of bingo and motherfucking Yahtzee, both. Have you ever had bingo and motherfucking Yahtzee in the same gag? It's awesome. It's a great feeling. I saw a post by a friend of mine, Elena. And she said, if, as it is said, that socialism is a natural progression to communism, then... it is most definitely true that capitalism is the natural progression to fascism. Quote of the day, bingo and motherfucking Yahtzee, Elena Marie Bridges from my Facebook page. Actually, she's from my personal page, not my Pinko the Bear show page. If you're a personal friend of mine or a Facebook clanmate, as I like to call so many folks who I've never actually met, but I interact with on Facebook on my regular page, Brad Holehut, in parentheses, Abear. I have another page. I have a show page that I've revived since I revived the show. There's only like 103 likes on it, but I plan on transferring many of my Facebook personal page folks over to that page, and I hope to use that page more and more for my political posts. I have a lot of Burning Man friends and other folks, family and such, on my personal page. I think I want to use the other one more. So get over, get on Facebook and just put in Pinko the Bear Show in the search box. Pinko the Bear Show. Hit like. Like me. Really like me. I would really like that. I'd like you too. If, as it is said, that socialism is a natural progression to communism, then it is most definitely true that capitalism is a natural progression to fascism. Well said. Well said. I got a couple things. I got a friend, Jeff Mincy, up in, he's a socialist and a philosopher up in Twin Cities area, I do believe. And he said a couple of things this week that I thought were brilliant. Brilliant, I think, would be the good word. Yeah, I think that would be the operative word. And so, of course, I'm searching for them right now. I had it laid out, and then somehow I lost it. I've got like a million tabs open on my computer right now. So I'm looking for that right now. Here's one. Something to contemplate. Kind of goes to what we were saying earlier. So busy were the two philosophers debating the existence of God that they failed to consider whether it mattered in the least. It doesn't. I have a corollary to that that I posted over there. So busy were the two voters
debating the finer points of their party's positions, that they failed to consider whether it mattered in the least. It doesn't. Two brands from the same corporations. Two wings of the same bird. Two sides of the same coin. The Democrats and the Republicans. You sit around talking about the finer points and what their differences are, but they're both capitalist supporters. And once you get by that, man, once you understand that capitalism is the crisis, capitalism doesn't work for the masses of the planet, billions of people on this planet, doesn't work for us, it works for the ruling class. Once you get that, all of the noise, all of the pomp and circumstance, all of the, it doesn't matter when these people open their mouths and they get on CNN. Oh, Obama's talking about some gay athlete that's come out. Big fucking deal. Really? Go away, you pig. You capitalist swine. You imperialist figurehead. You courtier. You whore and handmaiden to the billionaires and the killionaires of this world. Here's another one from Jeff. I really like this one. Whether you realize it or not, no, seriously, whether you realize it or not, when you talk about exploitation, subjugation, plunder, and war, you're talking about capitalism. But when you talk about social justice, equality, sustainability, when you talk about peace, when you talk about those things, you're talking about socialism. I think that's, it's pithy. It's pithy. It's accurate. It's true. It's demonstrably true. But you get liberals talking about exploitation. Well, you shouldn't exploit them that much. Exploit them a little less. You shouldn't subjugate them that much. Subjugate them a little less. Feed your slaves a little better. But when you're talking about exploitation, subjugation, plunder, and war, you're talking about capitalism. And then people who, oh, I'm not a socialist, I'm not a communist, I'm not an anarchist. No, I don't like those isms. Don't try to label me. Those kind of people, they're going to talk about social justice. They're going to talk about equality, sustainability. They're going to talk about peace. Well, guess what? Those people, if you're one of them listening, you're a socialist. There's nothing wrong with it. If you're a socialist, you love humanity. If you're a communist, you love humanity. If you're an anarchist, you love humanity. So you got some minor differences here and there. But you're not going to subjugate, and you're not going to plunder, and you're not going to make war, you're not going to exploit each other. You have maybe different ways of wanting to organize your society. Fine. I really like I like Jeff. I would suggest anyone who's a friend of mine or a friend of the show to look for Jeff Mincy. He's on my Facebook friends list and add him. Tell him Pinko the Bear sent him. Actually, I don't even know if he knows about my show. Tell him Brad Holhut sent him. Ooh, God, I hate saying that name. So the deal is I started my Facebook page years ago because I wanted to get a hold of an ex-girlfriend because my mother wanted to speak with her, not because I did. Nice girl. So I put in my real name, so when the friend request came through, she would know who it is. I didn't start using Abear as a name until I was out of college, I guess. Probably, 87 or 88. So I was Bradley William Holhut. And then I changed it to Brad Holhut. And then I said, well, fuck this noise. I really like Facebook, and I'm going to do it for political purposes. I wanted to use my name Abear. And they said, no nicknames. And plus, you've already changed your name too many times. You can't change your name. So I'm stuck with that. That's why I think I want to use the Pinko the Bear Show page more and more. Fresca, Nectar of the Gods. Nectar of the Dogs, I should say. So, I don't know about, what is it, 23? So 13 years ago, Chomsky had something to say that kind of goes along with what I was saying earlier. It's a great quote. It makes a lot of sense. I think it's, and he's a dissident. He's, you know, not going to see him on the Rachel Maddow show or CNN or anything. He lacks concision, as they told him. He tries to explain things. He's too long-winded. He would appreciate the piece that I just did that was 40 minutes long. But anyway, here's just a little nugget. He says, board of directors have to make certain decisions. And those decisions are pretty narrowly constrained. They have to be committed to increasing profit share and market share. And that means they're going to be forced to try to limit wages, to limit quality, to use advertising in a way that sells goods, even if the product is lousy. Now, who tells them to do this? Who tells them to do this? Not the Illuminati. He didn't say not the Illuminati, but I did. Who tells them to do this? Nobody. But if they stopped doing it, they'd be out of business. Similarly, if an editorial writer of the New York Times were to start, say, telling the truth about the Panama invasion, which is almost inconceivable because to become an editorial writer, you'd already have gone through the filtering process, which would weed out the nonconformists, Trump tellers. Well, the first thing that would happen is you'd start getting a lot of angry phone calls from investors, owners, and other sectors of power. That would probably suffice, and if it didn't, you'd simply see the stock start falling. And if they continued with it systematically, the New York Times would be replaced by some other organ. After all, what is the New York Times? It's just a corporation. If the investors and the advertisers don't want to support it and the government doesn't want to give it the special privileges and advantages that make it the newspaper of record, well, it's out of business. End quote. Chomsky, 1990. And he's right. So maybe you can make the case these people aren't horrible people. They're just, doing what they have to do to maintain their lifestyle. Well, I'd say that makes them horrible people. They're complicit. Well, you know, those French people, when they got invaded by Germany and they just did what they had to do, you know, to get along, that made them, what did that make them? Oh, collaborators. So the New York Times, the Washington Post, the Chicago Tribune, the LA Times, CNN, ABC, CBS, NBC, MSNBC, Fox, they're all collaborators. Collaborators with the oppressive ruling class screwing you and screwing me and screwing billions of people around the world. You want to be down with that? Yeah. It's your choice. I think it's a shitty choice. I don't think rational human beings, logical, caring, loving human beings should be down with capitalism. I don't think that normal, adjusted, humanity-loving people should be down with imperialism or colonialism or slavery or racism or any of that. Just my opinion. Oh, under the category of bingo and Yahtzee. Under the category of bingo and Yahtzee, here's another one. So you've seen, quote, so you've seen television ads, right? Suppose there's a television ad for a drug or a car or something, right? In a market society, what you would have is a description of the properties of the commodity, because then you get what are called informed consumers making rational choices. Right? Here's here's the product, here's what it's, here's its attributes, here's what it's like, here's what it can do for you, here's the price, rah, rah, rah. But see, that's not what we get. What we get is forms of delusion, because the business wants to create uninformed consumers. Uninformed consumers who make irrational choices, not informed consumers who make rational choices, uninformed who make irrational choices. That's what the business wants. They want to undermine the markets, which is very much like the political system. You want an electorate which is uninformed and makes irrational choices under modern democracy. So the whole kind of ideology is so remote from reality that it's almost impossible to discuss. I love me some Uncle Noah, man. He's a smart cat. I mean, really, if your product's any good, you don't need sex to sell it. If your product's any good, you don't need a cute baby to sell it. If your product's any good, you don't need, oh, what else do they use? Sex, cute baby. Oh, you don't need cute dogs and cats to sell it. What's your product? It's a toothbrush. What does it do? Helps you keep your teeth clean. Great. What's your product? Some body spray. What's it do? Keeps you from stinking. You don't... The Axe commercials? Really? Spray Axe on your body and you're going to get laid? Hot women are going to want to do you because you used Axe body spray? They want uninformed consumers making irrational choices. This car will get you laid. This product will keep you safe from the bad guys. Over and over. Just look at the commercials. This product will give you a boner and you'll have sex again with your wife. Oh, it'll give you a boner. But do you think these old men are buying boner pills so they can have sex with their 50, 60, 70-year-old wives? I don't think so. I drive a cab now. I see them. They come to the strip club. They take the blue pill. They pay the cover charge. They pick out the girl. They get themselves a lap dance and a boner. And because they can't go any further in the strip club, then they come out to the cab and they say, take me to the ranch. You know what the ranch is? I live in Nevada. It's a legal brothel. But I digress. How did I get into that? I don't know. I don't know. It could be the Pabst Blue Ribbon. Excuse me, I need another drink. We got 10 minutes left in the show. Oh, by the way, in the chat room, Joe, thanks for stopping by, man. Chat room has been a little quiet tonight, but I know everybody's sleeping because they need to be rested so they can get out to May Day tomorrow. Oh, I meant to play this clip. I'm going to play this clip. This is from Star Trek. There's a meme that's going around on the internet. You might have seen it. It basically has a picture of like the Mad Max, you know, Mel Gibson movies, a Mad Max kind of thing. Libertarians, right? And then a picture of, underneath, a picture of Star Trek. Communism. What? Star Trek is communist? Well, I don't know. You decide. I think so. But,
I know this is all very confusing to you, so I'll attempt to explain. You are on the starship USS Enterprise.
American.
No, it's a vessel in the United Federation of Planets, and Earth is a member.
Talk. Give me a martini straight up with two olives. For the vitamins. I might just get to like this place. Let's see if the Braves are on. How do you cut on this TV?
TV?
Yeah, the boob tube.
I believe he means television, sir. That particular form of entertainment did not last much beyond the year 2040.
Thank God. Dog.
What do you guys do? I mean, you don't drink and you ain't got no TV. Must be kind of boring, ain't it?
That's what all this is about. A lot has changed in the past 300 years. People are no longer obsessed with the accumulation of things. We've eliminated hunger, want, the need for possessions. We've grown out of our infancy.
Here's what I propose. You can't sail on the Enterprise, but I have arranged for us a rendezvous with the USS Charleston bound for Earth. They'll deliver you there.
Then what will happen to us? There's no trace of my money. My office is gone. What will I do? How will I live?
This is the 24th century. Material needs no longer exist.
Then what's the challenge?
The challenge, Mr. Offenhaus, is to improve yourself. To enrich yourself. Enjoy it.
Yeah. Gotta love me some Star Trek. Ah, baby. We're in the last 10 minutes. Tomorrow's May Day. I gotta play this. Oh, yeah.
You will not be able to stay home, brother.
Uh-huh.
You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in four parts without commercial interruption. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from a Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the Schaefer Award Theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nub. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner because the revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32 on Report from 29 districts. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on a rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still life of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he has been saving for just the proper occasion. Acres, Beverly Hillbillies, and Hooterville Junction will no longer be so damn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally got down with Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news and no pictures of Harry Hahn, woman liberationist, and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose. The theme song will not be written by Jim Webb or Francis Scott Key, nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones, Johnny Cash, Engelbert Humperdinck, or The Rare Earth. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with coke. The revolution will not fight germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the revolution will be live. May Day, tomorrow. Wherever you are, whatever town you're in, get your ass out. Do a little marching, listen to a little bit of speechifying. Shout out to all my brothers and sisters at the IWW and, of course, at SMAC, Sierra Mountain Anti-Capitalist Collective. What's that? Hey, it's on Facebook. Sierra, write it out. Search Sierra Mountain Anti-Capitalist Collective. You'll find it. You'll find me and my comrades. We're putting out a zine once a month, maybe every 5-6 weeks. Basically talking about the evils of capitalism and the power of egalitarian systems. And not everybody's on the same page of what that system will look like, but we're not going to oppress each other. We're not going to exploit each other or anybody. So that's one of the things I'm up to these days. Also, I think I'm going to have to write a book. I've been driving a cab for 3 weeks now, and boy, there's some interesting characters out late. I like to be up late. This is Up Late with Pinko the Bear, the Pinko the Bear Show, because I like to be up late. I'm a night walker, not a day walker, but tomorrow I'm going to walk during the day. Anyway, thanks for tuning in. I'm going to do it every Tuesday night, Wednesday morning, midnight. I'm going to be using Gwen. Thank you, Gwendolyn Berry, for letting me use your Blog Talk Radio platform so I can do my show. Also, the Commons Project Network, TCPN.com, the Commons Project Network.com. It's a network of like-minded lefty leftists. We are all, we're not liberals. We're to the left. Look to your left. We're down there. See? Just look over there. We're down there. And there's a variety of voices, a variety of styles and shows. It's a hub. It's a leftist hub for all the different radio shows and blogs as well. And the Commons Project Network, spell it out, .com. And we just got it up and running. We haven't worked out all the kinks. I'm still trying to figure out how to post properly there. I'll get to it. I got stuff to do. But we're looking forward to that because, the platform for conspiracy theorists, well, Blog Talk Radio has a bunch of them. There's a platform for conservatives. There's a platform for liberals, but there's not a central hub platform for all like-minded or pseudo-like-minded lefty leftists. And that's what we're trying to create. And so tell your friends, go check it out, and then listen to some of the shows and keep coming back. It works if you work it. Good night, everybody. I love you. I love you all, but I got to go. I got stuff to do tomorrow. May Day. Oh,
arise, ye workers from your slumber. Arise, ye prisoners of want. That's right. For reason in revolt now thunder. Chains of hatred, greed, and fear. Away with all your superstition.
Sure.
The masses arise, arise. We'll change henceforth the old tradition and spurn the dust to win the prize. So comrades, come on and rally.
Rally.
And the last fight, let us face the international, unite the whole darn human race. So comrades, come on, let's go rally. And the last fight, let us face the international, unite the whole darn human race. No more deluded by reaction, on tyrants only we'll make war. The soldiers too will take strike action, they'll break ranks and fight no more. And if those cannibals keep trying to sacrifice us to their pride, each at the force must do their duty, and we'll strike while the iron is hot. So comrades, come on, let's go rally, and the last fight let us face. The international unites the whole beautiful human race. So comrades, come on, let's go rally, ha! And the last fight let us face. The international unites the whole darn human race.
Good night, everybody. Good night. Happy Hitler's Suicide Day, 4/30/13. Well, actually, it's May 1 now, but hey. Love you. Love you all. Gotta go. Gotta go rally. I'll see you same bat time, same bat channel next week. Good night.